Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
No nap today, John.
And we're having a wonderful conversation with Ann Margaret Carosa, who is an elder law attorney. And just prior to the break, Otto brought up about putting a house into a child's name, which Ann said is wrong. But as opposed to skirting it, you know, what is the other options?
So I think all of us should consider putting real estate into a properly drawn trust. So we all know there are two basic kinds of trusts. There's a revocable or living trust, which sounds super terrific. I can be my own trustee. I can have access to the things in the trust whenever I want. A revocable trust avoids probate, but it does not confer any asset protection to the assets that are in it. So if your only goal is to avoid probate, then a revocable trust is for you. If you want to also protect the asset in the event that you may need long-term care down the road and possibly qualify for New York State's Medicaid program, then we need a stronger trust. It does not have to be purely irrevocable. It's going to be somewhere in the middle. It'll be a hybrid trust. And if it's properly drafted, I, as the grantor, can retain all lifetime ownership rights. I can sell the house if I want it to be sold, but no one else can sell the house if I don't want it to be sold. And putting the real estate into this kind of trust will commence the running of the so-called five-year look-back period for New York State's Medicaid program.
In reference to a trust like that, you put three beneficiaries on it.
Yeah.
Or trustees.
Well, I prefer not to have three trustees. That's kind of like the manager of the thing.
All right, okay.
So I'd put one or two co-trustees, and you can put 35 beneficiaries. There's no limit to how many beneficiaries.
Is that changeable?
Well, if it's properly drafted, I'm going to retain the ability to remove and replace my trustee, and I'm also going to retain the ability to change my beneficiaries. That's very important because without retaining that power, if a beneficiary dies, I'm up the creek.
Right.
I can't change it.
And that doesn't change the look back, though.
It doesn't change the look back.
That's very important.
And it's super important when we think about a surviving spouse getting into a second marriage. So if my husband and I put the house into a trust and I die and he takes up with a go-go dancer 7 months after my death, if the house is in a trust and it says that either grantor can change the beneficiaries, we want to limit that language so he can't put the go-go dancer in there as a beneficiary. So we want to say we can change the beneficiaries between and amongst our lineal descendants and trusts for their benefit only. This way, if my daughter develops a psychiatric issue or someone has a developmental disability, we can pop in a little protective trust to hold their ultimate share.
Wow.
Even the initial start naming a trustee is a difficult chore if you happen to have multiple children. Which one do you pick?
Public relations goes into this.
Yeah, family public relations.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
Well, I have a story, which I've shared it many times. And basically, they're all dead at this point, but that's not the point. They picked the son. Because that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, the son was just, you know, the daughter had college education, was intelligent, working, and he didn't have a job and, you know.
Old school.
Oh, God, yeah. But you had to be the boy. And actually, before the second parent died, he started just going through the money. Daughter wound up taking him to court. It's like, she was the one that should have been it from the very beginning, but that's not the point. In a family, there was no question he had to be the boy, and that was the end of it.
Right.
So that goes back to, it's the truth.
Well,
they don't want to fight.
It's not only your own child, but you do have, your own child has spouses and they have an input. And
they
can
certainly do.
Viewpoints.
They certainly do. Yeah. So I think it's very important for everyone to be made to feel important and a part of things. So if I have a child that I'm very close with, but they don't have a clue about finances, maybe I appoint them as my healthcare proxy to make healthcare decisions for me because they're loving and nurturing and have a healthcare background. So there are posts for everyone within the estate planning process.
Good. Okay. And that's important to do because everybody has to feel they're part of it.
Absolutely.
Because the one that feels left out, then you're starting the fight already. It's like, here we go.
That's it.
Well, one of the things that I saw on your website that I thought was excellent was your confidential planning questionnaire.
Just to give a little guidance to folks on things for them to think about.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to think about, and this kind of gives you a track to run on prior to going to see a person like yourself.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of thinking involved, which is why people tend to push things off, too.
But I think it's important to point out that you don't need a lawyer for everything. So a healthcare proxy, for example, I think an attorney should be ashamed of themselves charging someone for a healthcare proxy. So on our website, we have free downloadable forms. One of them is the healthcare proxy. We also have a sample living will. New York State does not have a strong living will statute like Florida does. So the living will is really your subjective compendium of your wants. And I put my living will on my website. I don't know why I changed my name because I tell everyone it's my living will. Where it says, if I need long-term care, I want for that care to be provided in my own home. That is super important, right, to make that loud and clear so there's no confusion later on. And the type of care that we're talking about is usually not medically complex. It's custodial. The cranky activities of daily living, feeding, bathing, dressing, toileting, that can be done in my own home if I make the effort to plan ahead for it. And the future becomes less scary if we're taking a role in shaping it ahead of time.
Well, we had somebody on a week or two ago about an advanced directive for dementia.
Right.
Which, is the same story. You know, you have to walk your way through the 10-year process that could happen and try to do what you can up front.
Absolutely.
But why is it that people don't like to I can understand it's not a pleasant topic.
Right.
None of these things are what you really want in life. But why is it that people won't do it? A lot of people just won't talk about a will, or they won't talk about life insurance, or they won't talk about anything that means they may die someday.
Well, I think that sensibility is changing, but I remember being a freshly minted attorney out of law school, just passed the bar exam, and brought this topic up to my grandmother. And she cursed at me. The first and only time in my life she was unkind to me, she thought I was wishing her dead. So she died without a will. Mm. And true story, her very modest estate, my mother and her brother killed each other in court over it because she died without a will. Mm. And I imagined my colleague saying that Anne Carrozza couldn't even write a will for her grandmother, but she didn't want one. So we have to respect that. Mm. I think at the very least, we should all educate ourselves. Doesn't mean we have to take action immediately, but begin the education process.
Yeah. You know what it is too, which I always tell people, it's only two parents. You know, it's one will, or not one will, but you know, in life, other things, you're going to have 10 cars, 15 cars in your life. So the first one you make a mistake, the second one you say, I want, power steering. Nobody pays attention to this until it's always too late. Once it's death, they don't want to touch it. And then after that, even if they want to look into it, it's overpowering sometimes. Overpowering?
Overwhelming. Yeah.
I meant overwhelming. That it just behooves people, and I push it all the time. You call someone like Ann Margaret, have a consultation. That's the end of it. Then walk away.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to go any further. You pay a few dollars, whatever consultation is, and you walk away. You say, honey, we're not doing this. I don't really care what happens to the kids. But it brings you at least aware to the consequences of the lack of action. And if that's what you want, then that's fine.
I
then you know it's going
to
be left.
It's empowering a little bit to arm yourself with some information. They say the number two fear that all of us have is the fear of aging. And I believe that by demystifying it and doing what we can today to shape it on our terms, what will my senior years look like? And we're all living longer. I had an 85-year-old client, which is nothing today. That's young. And she said something about her mother. And her mother is still here, and her mother is 107. So we need to be more mindful than ever to protect our assets with legal structures, because we're going to need our monies to stretch out over what will hopefully be a very, very long life expectancy for all of us.
Well, it's a whole other issue.
You know, that leads to a thought that I've always had, and that is, do you really think you're ever going to need Medicaid because you have long-term care insurance, you have a few dollars in IRAs, whatever? There's a fine line, I think, before you have to start planning about the fact that you may one of these days end up needing Medicaid, or you're financially set and you may never need Medicaid.
Well, hopefully we never need this program, but I think it's a good idea to the extent that this trust we're talking about has tax advantages for the kids. It helps them avoid probate. And to the extent that we're also getting that Medicaid 5-year clock under our belts, that's also a good thing. Because even with long-term care insurance, which is vitally important, and I encourage everyone to educate themselves about it, because the Medicaid program will not be there the way that it is today. But if you have long-term care insurance that covers $300 a day and the current cost of a nursing home is $525 a day, the Medicaid program will make up that $200-plus a day gap. So it's important.
That's a big time. And the thing is, that's another one with people. Long-term care is another issue. It's a terrible thing to say. The smart people have it.
Yes.
Otherwise, I don't need it. I'll look at it next year. And each year goes by, it gets more expensive.
That's
something
exactly
can happen.
Right.
I had one that got rejected recently because it's got a bad back. They don't want to give it to them.
You know what, though? The products are better than ever. The hybrid products, where if you don't end up using it, your beneficiaries will still get a death benefit.
Right, right.
So I encourage everyone to educate themselves about long-term care insurance.
I agree.
See, I have it. I've had it too long because it's probably not a good package.
But that's, you know.
You know, I've had it a long time, and they keep changing things in the
class. We're out of time. Yeah. We're out of time. Ann, thank you so much.
Thanks for
and
having
Christina,
me.
Even though you didn't want to participate, I thank you for coming.
Time.
And learn. Absolutely.
She was a good
You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.